Mark chapter 1, verse 14b through 15. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy, gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We pray that you would give us now eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts and minds to understand. And in understanding, I pray that we would turn ourselves to you. And in turning ourselves to you, we would find healing for our very lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank Nathan and Mark and Brent for keeping us awake this morning. You guys are awesome. It's good stuff. So, anybody been invited to anything lately? I mean, there's the Facebook, right? So, and the Facebook, you always are receiving lots of, like, invitations to various things. Anybody been invited to anything lately? What have you been invited to? Somebody been invited to anything good? To what? Art openings, yes. You get invited to art openings. What other things you get invited to there? Super Bowl parties, yes. Tyree? A party for a signing of a petition for some... Oh, for Bernie Sanders. Okay, all right, Bernie Sanders parties. We'll just take it like that. What other parties? Like, we get invited to birthday parties. We get invited to what else? Anybody else got something you want to shout out? You've been invited to lately? Where they want to sell stuff to you. Right. Supperware and whatnot. Poetry readings, you know? But the nice thing is, what was that, Brian? Concerts, yeah. But the nice thing is, you know, that an invitation is always just that. It's an invitation. It's an invite. You can then, you have your options, right? You can say yes or no or maybe, which on Facebook means no. Well, so does yes. So it's a bad example. But this past month, we've been talking about membership at Hot Metal Community. And really, I hope above everything else, you've heard that this is an invitation. It's an invitation, not just to be a church member, but rather it's an invitation to belonging. An invitation to belonging to God and to each other in this community as we profess our faith, regularly participate in the mission and ministry of this church, and joyfully give to that ministry and mission. It's an invitation to do what we say in our benediction every week. The last line of the benediction is consider Jesus so you will not grow weary and lose heart. An invitation to consider Jesus. St. Ignatius had a great prayer that he said this: I want to know Jesus more intimately, love Jesus more deeply, follow Jesus more closely. And in the end of all this conversation, that's what our invitation to membership is about. But so I want to talk about Jesus. You might figure that out this morning. Because Jesus is, he's what the kids would call the OG, right? Are you guys down with my terminology? Oh, I don't know, my kids? The OG, the original gangster. That's Jesus, the original gangster. Or in this case, I'm going to call him the OI, all right? The original inviter. You know, I'm just hip like this, Mike. Jesus in Mark 1, in this one little verse, these are his first words, and they're words of invitation. To repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So there's repent and believe in this thing that is gospel, because this other thing, the kingdom of God, is at hand. But let's look at this a little bit. Like, what does it mean to repent? What does it mean to repent? I've talked about repentance in various sermons. And our understanding of repentance is a little off. The word in Greek is metanoia. And when I say repent, we usually have this idea of like, oh no, I did something really terrible and awful and wrong. I must repent and not do that again, right? But the actual word repentance is a lot, it has a lot more depth than that. It's not just like, I've done some bad stuff and I need to now do good stuff. Metanoia means to change your entire way of thinking. Ooh, that's a little deeper, right? That's not just about bad things I do. That might be about other things I think. Repentance is about changing your way of thinking, changing the way you look at the world around you. So that's the first thing Jesus is inviting you to. I need you to change your way of thinking. And believe in what? This gospel. What does gospel mean? A lot of us know. Gospel means good news. The good news. And what is this good news? Well, Jesus says it's this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the kingdom of God for his hearers 2,000 years ago would have been a metaphor that would have been radical for them to hear. Because Jesus is talking in a metaphor. He's talking about a kingdom of God. And it would have been a radical one for them to hear. Because at this point in time in history, there's only one kingdom, right? That's the kingdom of Rome. Rome's in charge. That's the kingdom that is in charge. And there's only one lord over that kingdom. That's Caesar. That's right. To think or to say otherwise was a death sentence. To refer to anything as a kingdom other than Rome or any lord as other than Caesar was a death sentence. So Jesus starts out in this kind of an inflammatory fashion, inviting his hearers to a whole new way of thinking and of being, an invitation to a new kingdom to follow a new Lord. And now, 2,000 years later, it's the same invitation. But you know, we might need some new metaphors to help us understand this a little bit better. New metaphors for what it is we're being invited to. Because the kingdom of God, it might not work for us fully as it did for them in the first century. Because it's a little bit disconnected from our setting. I mean, maybe if we've grown up in a church, we've heard it over and over and over again, the kingdom of God. But we don't live with kingdoms or fiefdoms or any kind of dumbs, really. There are no kings or lords around us doing their king or lord thing. So maybe we need some new metaphors for kingdom of God. Brian McLaren, in one of his books called The Secret Message of Jesus, he suggests some new metaphors to replace kingdom. So to repent and believe for the kingdom of God has come near or is at hand, he suggests some different ideas for kingdom. And one is he suggests this, repent and believe for the party of God is at hand. And he points out that Jesus was always inviting people to parties, to feast, to banquets, to leave behind their isolation, their loneliness, to abandon their exclusive parties, such as their political ones, and to join in the inclusive party that celebrates the goodness and love of God. Repent, believe, the party of God is at hand. And then he offers this other image. He says, what about this one? Repent and believe, for the dance of God is at hand. Jen talked about this image a couple weeks ago when she was talking about the Trinity. And this was the image that the early church had for the Trinity. It was the image of God as a dance. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwelling with each other and an eternal, joyful, vibrant dance of love, harmony, and grace that's one of giving and receiving. Repent and believe, for the dance of God has come near. He also said, try this one on. Repent and believe, for the dream of God is at hand. And Brian says that God has a dream for creation. And he says, if you think about the Lord's Prayer and part where we pray, your will be done. He said in the Lord's Prayer, you could say, we could pray that as it could be, may your dream for creation come true. And we're invited to join our dream to God's dream. And there's this little paragraph from the book that's really good, so I'm going to read it. The call to faith, then, is a call to trust God and God's dreams enough to realign our dreams with God's. Say metanoia. to change our way of thinking, realign our dreams with God's, to dream our little dreams within God's big dream. The call to receptivity is the call to continually receive God's dream, a process that seems to be a lifelong one. The call to baptism is the call to publicly identify with God's dream and to disassociate with all competing isms or ideologies that claim to provide the ultimate dream, including nationalism, consumerism, hedonism, conservatism, liberalism, and so on. And it's the call to practice. And the call to practice is the call to learn to live the way God dreams for us to live. So repent and believe, for the dream of God has come near. He has others as well. Repent and believe, for the beloved community of God has come near. Repent and believe, for the healing mission of God has come near. Repent and believe, for the love revolution of God has come near. Now, I don't know, some of these metaphors are ones we can get a little bit more excited about or resonate a little bit more in our being. Many invitations we receive we're not excited about. You get that reminder postcard from your dentist to make your next dental appointment. You're not excited about that. And this is God's invitation in Christ, and it should excite us, it should move us, it should transform us, it should ultimately lead us to entire new outlooks and ways of thinking, to repent and believe the gospel. But let's look at this gospel. What is this gospel, this good news that is to change our thinking? And I think there's one more metaphor that we might need to work with, and it's one that's been actually very important to me throughout my Christian faith journey, and that is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. One of my constant go-to's prayer is, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I've always preached out of my understanding of how Jesus is Lord over all things, and how Jesus in his lordship kind of transcends and overcomes all things, even death. But maybe we need something to fill out this metaphor, this understanding of Jesus as Lord, a little bit better. Something, again, we could connect to. Because lordship language can be difficult for us, because it can connote not good things. Again, going back into the time of the Jewish people, to declare Jesus as Lord, well, that was radical. That was revolutionary, because Caesar was the only one you could say is Lord. And Caesar was thought to be divine, which is why he got the lordship title. So to proclaim Jesus as Lord was subversive. It was revolutionary. Could cost you your life. And then in Philippians, we have the great Philippians hymn in Philippians 2, where it says that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and understand that Jesus is Lord. He is the divine one, not Caesar. But lordship, it connotes a conquering. It connotes a certain sense of conquering. And there's far too much of that in our theology today, where we are conquering, where we are better. Like, we are Christian. We are superior. We will conquer. We will win. Whether it's the election or the war or the moral fight against whatever it may be, even against other Christians, our candidate is the right one. Our Jesus Lord is the right Jesus Lord. I think it's complicated, some of our understanding of what this dream of God is really to be about. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how I see Jesus as the great deconstructor. He deconstructed the Jewish faith understanding and rebuilt it with a new understanding. That he came and said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You see, he needed a new foundation. The foundation before was the one of the Jews being the chosen people. And it was important and it was needed. God's emerging revelation in his creation starts with the story of a people. And a large part of that was founded on the law, the Torah. So important. But Jesus comes and he says, I want to offer a new understanding and a new foundation. I'm not abolishing this, but I now want to fulfill it. And when he's asked, what is the greatest of the laws? What's the most important law? The one law to rule over all the other laws? What was his answer? That's right. Love God. And then what was the other part of that? Love others. Jesus called us to love. Not just some, but all others. All the people on Facebook you love, and all the people on Facebook you want to unfriend. All Jews, all Gentiles, all Muslims, all Hindus, all conservatives, all liberals, all Republicans, all Democrats, black or white, gay or straight, all the categories. Love them all. I'm reading this book called How God Changes Your Brain. And in this book, the researcher says, you know, the healthiest thing for us to do is to lose all our sense of categories. So hard to do, but so, like, healthy for the brain. So Jesus is calling us to that. Lose every one of your stupid categories. I can't see that on the podcast. Because think about it. If, and this is a big if, we are to embody that idea, that concept, it would be radical. It would be an invitation to the love revolution of God. Paul agrees with this. Paul said there's only one thing that matters, faith expressed in love, Galatians 5:6. Jesus is Lord, yes. But I wonder if it's helpful for us to also include this as our faith profession. Jesus is love. Because that's radical for us. Jesus is love, the fullness of God's love. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is love. Doesn't that make you read that scripture a little bit differently? Because you say every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It's a little bit like, I'm in, I got it, but you're out. You didn't get on board in time. Too bad. But if it's no, everybody... You're going to just understand that Jesus is love. That's all. You're going to understand the fullness of God's love because that's what Jesus is, the inner guts of God wandering about on the earth. And if we truly embody that love, that's the compelling invitation. And people won't want to pass it up. I have down here, sing. I was tweaking this morning, and I thought that song, you know, He is Lord, He is Lord. And I thought, but wait a minute, you change it. He is love, He is love. He is risen from the dead, and He is love. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is love. He is love, He is love. He is risen from the dead and He is love. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is love. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. I reworded that this morning to this. Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, the time has come at last, and the dream of God is at hand. Change how you think about everything, and live your life out of love. We want to invite you to live your life out of love here at Hot Metal, to join our story, to join God's dream as is expressed in this place. Some of you have been doing that for a long time, and I'm really grateful for that. But I want to invite you one more time to this class that's happening starting next Saturday, where we can gather and continue to sort out what it means that Jesus is love for ourselves and for others. 6 weeks could be a good Lenten practice for you, help you connect with others, get deeper in this community, no matter how long you've been around or whether you're already a member. We want to meet with you, and we want to find ways to connect ourselves together as the family of God. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, I give you thanks for this day. Give you thanks for the gathering of this community, these people. the church, your people. And gracious God, we give you thanks for Jesus and for his wonderful invitation. His invitation for us to dance, to party, to dream, to heal, and to love. Move in our hearts that we might learn what it is to truly love you and to love each other. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.